they ever want us to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air.
And
are
sun.
All they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls. They feed all the air.
It's a delight to have Dave Fazio from the Sonoma Mission Gardens pinch hitting for Gwen today, and special guest Rachel Spaeth, the garden curator at the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens here in Santa Rosa. She's been with them 8 years. All the 50, 60 plants as far as fruit trees, she's responsible for all of those. A lot of the grafting that goes on, the edible patches, and of course giving educational tours. And the big open house is next weekend. The 37th annual open house is Saturday and Sunday, December 3rd and 4th from 10 to 4 o'clock. $3 and kids under 12 free. Santa Rosa Avenue at Sonoma Avenue. Don't miss this. There's so much going on. Enjoy refreshments and great crafts and succulents. And, of course, the silent auction of the leather-bound 1916 12-volume set of Luther Burbank, his methods and discoveries and their practical application. A classic that you could be the proud owner of, and of course support the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens. Any gardening questions this hour? 636-1350. I'm sure Rachel and Dave can tackle those and answer them to your satisfaction. And Rachel has brought a wonderful long sleeve t-shirt to give away to a lucky Garden Talk caller this morning. It has beautiful Shirley poppies, silk screen printed on the front, and it has what, Luther Burbank Home and Gardens printed on it also?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it does it say Santa Rosa, California under there too?
It does.
And it's long-sleeved black. It's very, very becoming, and it's stylish looking. So we'll give away one of those at the end.
The poppies are really vibrant against the black.
It almost looks like a black light.
It does,
Doesn't it? It's so vibrant. One of you will win that if you get on with a question or comment today. Let's go to the calls. We have four open and unattended lines. You can get right in and ask gardening questions this morning on Garden Talk. Steve, you're up first. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you, Steve? Hi.
Hi. I have a gardenia that is really giving me fits right now. It is showing an awful lot of yellowing in the leaves, and to the point where some of the foliage is dying off, some of the branches are dying. And, you know, I've had this on a regular fertilization schedule, and I've taken samples of the leaves down to the local gardening center, and they suggested that I put chelated iron on it, which I did, and it just doesn't seem to be coming back. Do you have any suggestions or anything that you might recommend?
Is this in a pot or is it in the ground?
It's in a pot. It's in about a 6 to 8 gallon pot.
And how often has it gotten watered during the dry season?
Water it probably every 3 days, fairly lightly, but I don't water it, you know, too deep.
Does the water run through the pot?
I believe it does, yes.
You know, because it could be partially a delayed reaction from virtually lack of water during the dry season that would do that. You know, when you're saying you're watering it lightly, because when you've got things that are potted, especially if they're in a sunny spot, you want to make sure that you water them so that you get water running out the bottom, and you don't and you don't want them to be sitting in a saucer of water so that you're rotting the bottom of your roots out. You know, and the other thing too is that with a chelated iron or with any iron product, just like regular fertilizer, you have to repeat that periodically. And the chelated iron, people, they use a nitrogen fertilizer and everything turns green and beautiful, and they think the chelated iron is going to do that in 2 or 3 weeks. And you got to repeat your chelated iron or repeat your iron product over and over for quite some time, and it usually takes the plant sometimes 3 months or 4 months before it will show an improvement from that.
I see.
So I would keep after the chelated iron, make sure that it's in a nice sunny spot, especially during the winter. And next summer when it rolls around, if it makes it through, water it well. You know, water all the way through the pot. Because sometimes it's really interesting. I know everybody for the last several years, because of the, quote, drought and everything, has been really concerned about their watering. And there's been a lot of delayed reactions in plants. This year, again, you know, driving Highway 12, there are more oak trees that have popped and fallen over because of the drought. And all of a sudden they've got water going on. And that could very well be what's going on with your plant, is that it was suffering, you know, it was getting enough water to keep it alive, but it wasn't doing what it should be doing.
Yeah.
Do you get any blossoms on that or any buds?
I do. And the last time that it blossomed, the blossoms would turn brown fairly quick, almost like they had some kind of a rot to them.
And did you have the buds turning brown too and falling off, some of them?
I don't recall that, no.
Water. Be more conscientious about your watering. I don't know how long that thing's been in that pot or anything, but generally, you know, when you look at a nursery that has hundreds of plants in a container, most of that stuff, especially during the dry season, gets watered daily, minimum every other day.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a really...
And watered pretty well. Huh?
And watered pretty well. And on a really, really hot day, when we're pushing 100, 103 degrees, a lot of the smaller pots will get watered twice and sometimes three times a day in that kind of heat.
Yeah. Well, I was concerned about it because a friend of mine came over and told me that she thought that it might be overwatered.
Right.
But
that's what you hear traditionally.
Yeah, I have azaleas and a number of things like that, and I water those on about the same schedule, but apparently they don't require quite as much water, and they're in a little different spot in the yard anyway, so they probably don't take as much water.
Yeah, and also, you know, I don't know whether it's sitting in a dirt area or whether it's sitting on concrete or asphalt where there's a lot of reflected heat on your pot. The color of the pot has a lot to do with the heat absorption and stuff of that nature. So you might, maybe if you're concerned about the watering situation, then maybe it's too much or too little. Next summer, use a water meter. Shove it in there once in a while and take a look at it.
Yeah.
Anything else to add, Rachel?
No. Well, I guess I would ask a couple of things about them being yellow leaves. Are they new yellow leaves or are they old yellow leaves?
They're old. Yeah.
Okay, so if they're old yellow leaves, then it's probably not an iron issue, because iron is a not mobile nutrient. Iron is something that plants use in their machinery that they do photosynthesis with, so they can't actually pick it up and move it. So if your older leaves are yellow, then it's probably not an iron issue.
Okay. Next, did you have
Date?
And then the other thing I would ask you is, are you getting whole branches that are looking dead, or is it spotty throughout the entire
plant? Yeah, the whole thing, it'll die right down to the.
So if it's one
trunk.
Single branch that dies back the whole way to the trunk, that's typically a fungal issue, is what I would say. And so if you're having a fungus issue, that might mean that you need to repot it with different soil and cut out any of those regions that you have.
Yeah.
I get that.
Okay, well, it's at a point now where I'll take all those suggestions, because it's not doing too well. So I'll repot it right away and put new soil in there and just see how it does.
And give us a call back in a few weeks and give us an update.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Thanks for your help.
Thanks for your call, Steve. Let's go to Peggy's call. She'd like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Peggy.
Hi. I have a question about the society garlic. My first one is it poisonous?
To my knowledge, no.
Oh, okay. So I had heard somewhere that it was poisonous, and I was just wondering.
No, I think because of the odor and stuff, deer will leave it alone, but I don't believe that it's poisonous.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, I think I've heard of people actually using it as a garlic substitute, although it tastes more like gasoline to me.
Oh, okay. my other question about it is, how do you thin it out? I see these commercial buildings have them, and they just kind of cut the edges. Or do you have to dig it and separate them? Or how do you do it? Mine are a couple of years old now, and they're getting... I have a very small garden, and I wanted to thin them back. So I didn't know whether to cut it back or just dig them up and thin them out.
I would dig it up. If,
okay.
If you just cut it back, the whole plant is still there, and it's just going to regenerate new leaves on you.
Okay.
So it's going to be virtually the same size in a month or so.
Oh, okay.
But if you dig it up and take a division of it, you know, take a quarter of it or a half of it or even less, or, and replant that and throw the rest of it away or give it to your neighbors or something, it'll keep the size of the plant a little smaller for you.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. All right. Thank you very much.
We'll take a break. Thanks for calling. We'll come back and we'll chat with Mary, and that leaves three open lines at 636-1350 for the next few minutes of Garden Talk with Dave Fazio from Sonoma Mission Gardens, pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher, and joined today, special guest, garden curator of Luther Burbank Home and Gardens, Rachel Spaeth. And we're talking about the big holiday open house, the 37th annual, next Saturday and Sunday here in Santa Rosa. Put it on your to-do list. Put it on your calendar now, because so many things are happening in this holiday season. You don't want to miss this. There's some great activities for the kids. Of course, garden-led docent tours throughout the gardens. Some wonderful things to purchase to help support this wonderful, wonderful part of Sonoma County history. And we have a gorgeous long-sleeve t-shirt to give away with the Shirley Poppies on front, one of Luther Burbank's developments that you can proudly wear. We'll give away that t-shirt to a lucky caller at 11 o'clock. You do need to get in with a question or comment, 636-1350, but you can also email me, steve@ksro.com, and we'll enter your name into the drawing.
Coast to coast, late night, all night, on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hello, I'm Joyce Tafala, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We'd also like to invite you to visit our book and gift store, Stepping Stones Books and Gifts, where you'll find a wide range of metaphysical and spiritual books, CDs, and DVDs, as well as many gift items for the spiritually inclined. Stepping Stones Books and Gifts is open Saturday through Wednesday. Please call for our hours, 707-546-4543. That's Stepping Stones Books and Gifts at the Center for Spiritual Living, 2075 Occidental Road. You can also visit Stepping Stones online at steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. That's one word, steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
Mountain Mike's Pizza's been making delicious pizza the way it ought to be since 1978. We make it with the freshest meats and vegetables, and our handmade pizza dough is made from scratch each morning. And now, just when you thought it can't get any better, we offer something even more. Gluten-free crust. Try any of your favorite toppings or cheeses on our gluten-free crust. It's the same great taste you love about Mountain Mike's Pizza, just without the gluten. For locations near you or to order online, visit MountainMikes.com.
At Mountain Mike's Pizza, we strive to do more than just make great-tasting pizza. We believe passionately in being active participants in our local communities and are proud to support organizations, sports teams, and groups that help to better our neighborhoods through education, sports, the arts, charitable acts, and spiritual leadership. We have fundraising opportunities available to help you raise money for your program or even just help feed the team. To get started or sign up, visit our website at mountainmikes.com/fundraising.
Downtown is bustling this season. Start your holiday shopping and dining downtown. It's the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. There are so many unique shops and delectable restaurants, it will make your shopping so much more enjoyable. Be sure to visit businesses you're not familiar with, as well as your favorites.
This is Matthew at the Gallery at Corvix. As we at Corvix gear up for the holidays, we're also excited to announce a thrilling art show this December featuring printmaker Rick Olson and realist still life painter Tatiana McWethy. Join us December 2nd from 5 to 7 in the evening to meet the artists and celebrate the arts together. The Gallery at Corvix, 637 4th Street.
And Corvix is among the merchants who will validate your parking. It's their gift to you. There's nothing like holiday shopping downtown, the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. Paid for by the Downtown Merchants Association and the Santa Rosa Chamber of Commerce.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Special guest Dave Fazio from the Sonoma Mission Gardens. He's available for a consult, as well as Rachel Spaeth, garden curator for the holiday open house, Luther Burbank Home and Gardens. She's been there for 8 years. She's also an entomologist, also working on her PhD in something that I can't even describe, and also gardens on her own beautiful property outside of Santa Rosa, and is responsible for all the grafted fruit trees and all those beautiful boxes of vegetables and fruits and ornamentals and annuals at Luther Burbank Home and Gardens, which you can see next Saturday and Sunday. So what are your favorite plums? We talked about plums earlier before you joined us.
My favorite is probably Beauty. It's kind of an earlier season plum, so mid to early June. It's a very large plum, probably the size of a good-sized tennis ball. It was a Satsuma cross, so it's red on the inside and a nice, beautiful purple on the outside. The skin peels right off, and the flesh just kind of melts in your mouth. It's so good. I can't wait until next June already.
And you're going to be working on a very exciting plum project.
Yeah, I'll be working on the Burbank Plum Project over at Wolfskill. So it's genotyping their entire collection to kind of see what genetic variation is there. And then also, Burbank had four top plums that he introduced, which are Wixon, Santa Rosa, Burbank, and Beauty. And I'm going to be trying to do multi-grafted plums that I can sell through the Burbank Gardens that'll have all four of his top plums on them.
Very, very exciting. Mary from Sebastopol, thanks for holding. You're on Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions. One is about the Amacrimum that the lady from the Burbank mentioned. I bought one a couple of months ago at one of their sales in Sebastopol, plant sale, and it's still sitting in its pot, and I forgot to ask them how to plant it, whether it needs sun, more shade, how big it gets, things like that.
Oh, yeah. Usually my rule of thumb with bulbs is that you plant them twice as deep as they are big. That's kind of deep for an Amacrinum. Amacrinums like to be a little bit taller than that. The flower spikes on them will probably get to be 2.5 feet tall. Okay. Sometimes they don't bloom every year. And if you got one that did you buy just the bulb, or is it an extra plant?
Okay. It's fairly good size.
Well, then that one should probably bloom for you fairly recently. The more sunshine they get, the more frequently they'll bloom. And there's a season for those.
So all day sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
Ours gets most of a day of sun. I think ours is kind of protected by an oak tree. And so they don't bloom quite as prolifically as they would if they got more sun.
Okay, so more sun is good. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Thank you. The other question I have is I have this amaryllis, which someone gave me for Christmas several years ago, in a little tiny pot, and then it just got bigger and bigger, so I put it in an next size up pot. And then this past year, I put it in probably about a 14-inch wide pot, or 16 maybe, I'm not sure. And it has now turned huge. It's got the big bulb is about the size of a turnip, and there are two, kind of one on each side, small ones. And I'm wondering and it's got a flower on it right now. I brought it in last week because it was getting cold, and it's about 3 feet tall with a beautiful flower. And I'm wondering, I'm going to keep it in until the weather gets warmer again, but what should I do? Should I divide it? It's getting enormous.
Dave, what do you think about the amaryllis?
Well, you know, naturally, if it was in the ground in an area where you didn't have to worry about the cold and stuff, you could just leave it be and let it multiply. If your pots are big enough, you can leave them together and let them grow and let them flower. You're just going to get more flower spikes out of a cluster rather than a single bulb. But if you want to keep it a little bit smaller, break them up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I could probably like it bigger, but I don't know if it's going to fit in the house in the winter. Anyway, thank you so much.
Okay. Nice talking to you, Mary. 636-1350, Mary's line just cleared. You can get in without waiting to talk with Rachel and Dave Fazio on this special edition of Garden Talk. Or, of course, you can always reach us via email, steve@ksro.com. Pretty exciting. How long has the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens been open to the public?
I think they opened to the general public in the mid-80s. So there was, Elizabeth opened it up after Luther died in a small capacity. There was a memorial garden that she installed. It didn't quite have the pond feature and things like that until the late 60s, probably. But she really kind of facilitated that. And then she willed the property to the city when she died, which was in 76. And we were affiliated pretty tightly with Santa Rosa Junior College at the time. And so their students kind of managed the area. And then there was a big garden rehab in the 80s that transferred it more to the city of Santa Rosa Park. And that's when they started putting in all the brick pathways that are there and things like that. And then the nonprofit association itself has, or the volunteer association, I should say, has had many evolutions over time. So at first it started as just a kind of a group of people that wanted to tend the area. And a few years ago, we actually got 501c3 nonprofit status now. So we are an official nonprofit. We do all of the fundraising for the site. The city of Santa Rosa still technically owns it, but they've taken a very hands-off approach to it. We no longer have a full-time maintenance worker that's there with us. So it's just me, and I coordinate about usually between 40 and 65 garden volunteers that help maintain the site. It's 1.6 acres, and there's a lot of weeds.
That's remarkable. If you're coming to Santa Rosa, bringing friends, family, visitors, this is really something you should see. Luther Burbank's Home and Gardens, certainly know, along with Snoopy and Charles Schultz's Gallery and Museum. That's another big tourist event. But don't forget to put this one on your must-see list. Let's talk about the good things about society garlic, because I kind of dissed it because it stinks so bad. But there's some advantages to planting it, Dave.
Well, it bloom. It's got a really long blooming season.
Number one.
It can bloom as long as 8 to 9 months out of the year.
Okay.
It is deer resistant.
Okay.
It is drought tolerant.
Okay.
It can be used in a pond as a pond plant.
Just stuck in a container right into the pond.
In a gallon can or a 5 gallon can and dropped into your pond, it's fine. You know, and the what is it, silver lace or something, the one with the white variegation in it in the leaf is much more attractive than the green one. Mm-hmm. But the blooming season and the fact that it's deer tolerant and drought tolerant, it makes a really good planting. I just kind of tell my people that, you know, plant it away from the house. Don't put it next to your patio along the edge or something of that nature, because it does get very stinky.
Outside your bedroom. You don't want to be planting it there. Yeah. But you sell a lot at Sonoma Mission Gardens?
We go through a lot of society garlic, yeah. It's still quite popular and stuff. It was very popular when it was, you know, the Mediterranean Tuscan housing look on everything because of the drought and the Mediterranean feel of it. But it's still quite a successful little plant and does very well.
Marola from Rohnert Park, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO with Dave and Rachel. Hi, Marola.
Hi. I was given a shallow dish with water and broken glass in it, and it had 6 large hyacinth bulbs in it. And they bloomed. They grew about 2 feet tall, and they bloomed, and the blossoms are gone now, and the leaves are beginning to turn yellow, and I don't know how to care for these bulbs so I can use them next year.
I would say throw them away and buy new bulbs.
Oh, really?
Hyacinths, you know, you could plant them in the garden and they might regenerate themselves and maybe bloom again in 2 or 3 years for you. But they are really difficult to get to bloom every season, like paper whites or something of that nature.
And Dave Fazio has a nice selection of hyacinths at Sonoma Mission Gardens, don't you?
No, I have a minimal selection of hyacinths.
Minimal selection.
You know, I think we've got white and purple or something is about it.
Yeah.
Hyacinths are wonderful when they do bloom because they've got a wonderful fragrance to them and stuff, and they're really pretty. And if you use them out in the garden, the bad part about them is usually they're blooming and then we get hit with a rainstorm and they land in the mud. But
I would say my luck would be the gophers would get them.
Oh, are you in Sebastopol?
No, I'm in Rohnert Park.
Oh. Almost as bad.
They come in off the golf course, actually.
Yeah, you might actually take an, you know, if you're going to plant them into the ground, take and put a little wire basket underneath them or something to keep the gophers out of them.
Uh-huh.
There's no surefire way, you know, if you're going to plant something that you want to keep gophers away from, it's usually daffodils or the narcissus group.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the years of doing this radio program, I had one person call and say she had planted, I think it was like 50 daffodils in her front yard, and she said the next spring they all bloomed in the backyard. The gophers just moved them on her, but they didn't eat them, you know, which is a big plus.
So invest a little money in new hyacinths. Is that both of your recommendations?
The hyacinths are really hard to get them to come back season
after season. Well, with the instructions that I got with them when the girls gave it to me for my birthday, and they said to water them with 9 parts of water and 10 parts of vodka, gin, or alcohol.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And that would make the stem stronger to stand up. But
that's correct.
I had to prop the stem because they get about 2 feet high before they bloomed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's probably that they didn't get quite the light they would have liked indoors and everything, but they are pretty mm-hmm. and they smell good.
And they're interesting to watch, too.
Uh-huh.
So there's your answer, Marola.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our pleasure talking with you. Have a good holiday season. We'll take a quick break and come right back with more questions and answers. No one on hold at this moment. 636-1350. You have a half hour to chat with Dave and Rachel, pinch hitting for Gwen today. Of course, Dave from Sonoma Mission Gardens and Rachel Spaeth, the garden curator, education coordinator for Luther Burbank Home and Gardens in Santa Rosa, also the chairwoman for Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Growers. She's also an entomologist and working on her PhD. 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com. If you get in with a question or comment, we will enter your name into the drawing for this beautiful, and it really is beautiful, long sleeve t-shirt. It's black with beautiful Shirley poppies on the front. They're iridescent, fluorescent. They almost glow in the dark. It says Luther Burbank Home and Garden, Santa Rosa, California. They'll be selling those next week at the 37th Annual Holiday Open House here in Santa Rosa, but one of you will win that at the end of the show. All you need to do is get in with a question or comment. We'll enter your name into the drawing.
Hey, Sonoma County, I'm Stephen Curry, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
If you love shopping, Black Friday is a sale extravaganza. But who wants to deal with the crowds? So North Bay Nissan has made Black Friday every day in November. Shop for the Nissan car or truck you want at North Bay Nissan in Petaluma and get Black Friday prices today, tomorrow, right now.
This month, get up to $10,000 Nissan cash back on select models and make no payments for 90 days. North Bay Nissan is an official Toys for Tots donation center. Help us provide a Merry Christmas to the children in need. Drop off any new unwrapped toy to our showroom by December 15th.
Get a head start on shopping for your next Nissan. Hey, maybe you can afford more gifts with your Black Friday savings at North Bay Nissan. Black Friday starts now. Holiday shopping just got more exciting. It's your day at North Bay, just off the 101 in Petaluma and NorthBayNissan.com. North Bay Nissan, a proud member of the Avante Auto Group.
North Bay Nissan.
That was some holiday party over at Mom and Dad's new place.
Yeah, what are we going to get them this year? They already have matching Snuggies.
Well, their new house is nice, but did you see their yard?
Oh, I sure did. God, the only thing worse was that awful Scotty Dog holiday sweater that Dad was wearing.
Maybe we should get the whole family to give them gift cards from Urban Tree Farm Nursery.
That's a great idea. Then Mom and Dad could go to Urban Tree Farm and pick out the plants and trees that they want for their landscape from Urban Tree Farm's huge 20-acre selection.
Wow, a complete landscape from Urban Tree Farm. Now that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I guess it beats the Jelly of the Month Club.
Come in now and check out the selection of our live Christmas trees. Urban Tree Farm has a great selection of blue spruce and many other living Christmas trees. Like us on Facebook for all the latest deals, as well as landscape care reminders, tips, and how-to videos.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrats Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your Thanksgiving feast. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to quail and rabbit. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The
celebrations continue in the streets of Miami's Little Havana today. They've been going on since the announcement of Cuban leader Fidel Castro's death. The island nation is now in 9 days of national mourning. The government says the 90-year-old's remains will be cremated today. President Obama offering his condolences to the Castro family. President-elect Trump says his administration is going to do all that it can to ensure that the Cuban people can finally begin their journey toward prosperity and liberty. An attorney for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign says her legal team will follow Green Party candidate Jill Stein's lead and will participate in the Wisconsin recount. Authorities in Alaska are investigating the deaths of four people, one of them a child, found in a hotel room as a murder-suicide. We hit the malls on Black Friday. We're going to do some cyber shopping on Monday. Mom and pop stores want your business today on Small Business Saturday. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Overcast and rainy today, topping out at 57 degrees, 55 on the coast. More clouds and rain tonight, low 45, 46 on the shores. It's partly cloudy for Sunday at 60 degrees, 58 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 63, 62 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Take your career to the next level. Grayton Resort and Casino is having a job fair Saturday, December 3rd. For details, visit GraytonResortCasino.com.
Can talk to the experts right now at 636-1350. Rachel Spaeth from Luther Burbank Gardens here in Santa Rosa, entomologist, PhD candidate, and also part of the Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Grower Association. She's the garden curator and educator at the Luther Burbank Gardens here. And Dave Fazio, of course, the Sonoma Mission Gardens, his nursery of 40 plus years on staff at the JC for probably 30 plus years, teaching horticulture, an encyclopedic resource also at your disposal here at KSRO this morning, 636-1350. You can reach us, or Steve at KSRO.com. We have four open lines. Scott is up next. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
All right. Yeah, I had a quick question. I heard you talking about fruit trees, and if I was to attempt an apricot, because I had a really good one that I killed somehow, what variety would you recommend for an apricot tree?
Blenheim.
Pardon me?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I would say Blenheim is probably the fail-safe one that we have here in Sonoma County.
Could you spell that for me, please?
Sure. It's B-L-E-N-H-E-I-M, Blenheim.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. H-E-I-M. Cool. All right. And I appreciate that. That was nice and simple.
Yeah, it narrows it down pretty quick. I mean, apricots don't really do that well here. If you have a nice hot spot, I would say definitely put it near some pavement or something. There's one that does really well at the JC that's in the middle of a parking lot that's been there for many, many years. But they do really like that heat.
Gotcha.
We will have at the we do a big Scion exchange every year in January for the California Rare Fruit Growers at the Veterans Memorial Building here in Santa Rosa, and we will have people there that are custom grafting, and typically Blenheim is one that we have to offer there. So if you want to get a pretty nice fruit tree that's custom grafted with the Blenheim, that's a great time to do it.
And when is that?
That's going to be on January 28th, and I believe it goes from 11 to 3. It's $5 for the general public. You're probably looking at $5 for the rootstock and $2 for a custom graft. So for about $11, you'll go home with a beautiful, disease-free rootstock that's good for our soil, climate, and a tree that will give you fruit in just a couple of years.
That's a steal, actually. That's a wonderful price.
It's definitely
compared to what they charge elsewhere. We'll just keep it at that. Yeah. And then there'll be other fruit trees, obviously, varieties of stuff.
Yeah, so we bring lots of rootstocks for apples, pears, peaches, plums, cherries, although cherries don't really do very well here. And then on the tables, if you have kind of a wish list, we have about over 500 different varieties of fruits that you can get from just that location. You kind of have to know what you're looking for, and we don't have anything that's patented there because it has to be all stuff that can be exchanged without anybody having intellectual property rights to it.
Gotcha.
What kind of apricot did you kill, Scott?
I wish I could remember because the tree the first year, the tree so-so. Next year, it was healthy as all get out. I try to keep mine short, you know. I kind of almost dwarf them if I can for easier picking and pruning. And it was outside our back, in between our vineyard and our house, but hot out there. Mm-hmm. And the next year, the tree looked really healthy, and it had not very many, but really big apricots on it. Mm-hmm. And they were wonderful. And then I made a bad spray the next spring, I guess, and thing never came back. So I don't know what kind it was. Hmm. But so the fruit was really big.
What do you mean a bad spray?
Well, I sprayed something that wasn't supposed to be sprayed. I don't even remember what it was.
Okay.
Sometimes I use my vineyard stuff for my fruit trees if it's the right time of year.
Oh.
If I have leftover and I blew it.
Okay.
And so,
so it wasn't not the tree's fault.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was not. No. Okay. Just ask my wife. She loved that tree.
I hear you. So the Blenheim is the one to go for. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. I would say Blenheim's the one to go for.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
The most flavorful and best tasting of the bunch.
The Blenheim's the best
tasting. Yeah, there's a lot of others around.
There's Moore Park. Isn't that one?
Moore Park and Tilton's another one, which is quite large, too. And but the flavor in it isn't as good as Blenheim.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the king of apricots.
Sounds like it's unanimous.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the one that's commercially available a lot is Patterson.
Yeah.
Isn't that one, too? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's an okay one, but the Blenheim's the king of apricots.
It definitely is.
Okay. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thanks a lot.
Good hearing from you.
Now, you with your genome studies, have they decided that there's a difference between Blenheim and Royal?
That's a really great question. I would have to look that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the meantime,
give me some homework. All right.
because you know, I was always under the impression, listening to old time growers and stuff, that they were basically the same apricot. It was just developed in two different places at the same time.
And that does happen a lot.
And they are really similar and both really good apricots.
Do you ever see Royals around, though? Someone said you rarely ever see them.
Not as much now because I think they finally decided that it was actually the same apricot, so they quit calling it Blenheim and Royal or whatever.
Interesting.
Still have time to get in with a question or comment for two masters here. We have Rachel Spaeth and Dave Fazio co-hosting Garden Talk this morning only. You have about 15 minutes to get in with a question or comment. We'll give away this beautiful Luther Burbank long sleeve black t-shirt with the iridescent fluorescent Shirley poppies on the front. Proudly wear it wherever you go and people will go, oh, Santa Rosa, Luther Burbank. Yeah, I know about that.
The Kim Komando Show, Sundays noon to 3 on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
If your idea of ho-ho-ho is rev-rev-rev, then Twin Pine Casino and Hotel is your destination for 4x4 gifts. It's the Holiday Truckathon $100,000 giveaway at Twin Pine Casino. We're giving away a brand new 2017 Toyota Tacoma 4x4 on Saturday, November 26th and December 31st during our grand prize drawings. Plus, you'll have a chance to win your share of $100,000 every Saturday through 2016 starting on November 5th. To win, take a break from the holiday planning to rack up your chances by playing your favorite games in our spacious casino. While you're here, treat yourself to our monthly wine pairing dinners featuring some of the best wines in the valley. Enjoy chef-prepared meals at Manzanita Restaurant and relax in our ultra-comfortable gold medal accommodations. There's always a good time to be had at Twin Pine Casino, home of the Millionaires Club, 15 miles north of Calistoga on Highway 29. Twin Pine Casino and Hotel, the only place to play and stay in wine country.
The Roanoke Park Community Services Department presents the 37th Annual Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, November 25th and 26th, 10 to 4, at the Roanoke Park Community Center, corner of Roanoke Park Expressway and Snyder Lane. You'll find dozens of local arts and crafts artisans with distinctive jewelry, yard art, wine barrel creations, lotions, scarves and hats, even locally produced gift food items. Each and every talented artisan and craftsperson were handpicked, drawing from all around the Bay Area. Enjoy roaming entertainment to put you in a holiday mood, and if you get hungry, no problem. There are food booths both days of the fair. And they've gathered pieces all year long for the annual holiday pottery and fused glass sale, offering one-of-a-kind pieces created on site. That's the 37th Annual Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, Friday and Saturday, November 25th and 26th, 10 to 4, at the Roanoke Park Community Center on Snyder Lane. It's the best crafts fair in Sonoma County, period.
Why use CarClickGo.com to find your next vehicle? You'll get access to the most new and used cars in Sonoma County, like a 2011 Toyota Camry for less than $11,000 at Freeman Toyota, a 2013 Chevy Silverado $1,500 for less than $30,000 at Platinum Chevrolet, or get a 2003 convertible VW Beetle for less than $5,000 at Hansel Auto Group. Whatever you're searching for is just a short drive away by using CarClickGo.com. Find more options than you can imagine.
CarClickGo.com.
You can find the best deals in Sonoma County only on MySonomaDeals.com. Enjoy dining, family fun, health and beauty, and more for just half the price. The deals are always changing in a limited quantity, so make sure to check often so you don't miss out on these amazing deals. Savings and fun, all wrapped into one, only at MySonomaDeals.com. That's MySonomaDeals.com.
No, I didn't leave. I was just in a conversation with Dave and Rachel about so many things in the glorious plant world kingdom. Didn't you take a class from Dave Fazio?
I did. I took Dave's bulbous plants class about 10 or 12 years ago.
How was that? You can just pretend he's not listening.
No, it was an incredible class. I learned so much about bulbs. It was the first year that I went to the junior college when I was getting reintroduced back into school. And it was part of the reason that I got really excited about horticulture. So you learn a lot about a lot of incredible different things. And especially me being a person coming from the East Coast where we have magnificent tulips there and we don't have magnificent tulips here. It was nice to see different bulbs that you can grow in this area with a completely different climate base than what I was used to.
And would you agree we don't have magnificent tulips here, unlike the East Coast? Or
well, Europe? The first year they can be magnificent, but after that they're not worth much.
First year only.
Yeah, because they've been treated and chilled and stuff properly, which, you know, our winters aren't cold.
That's
like
right.
The East
does. It doesn't get down to 10 and 0, and tulips really do need a hard freeze. Is that correct?
They do, yeah.
They really do. Okay. So that's one thing we really can't brag about out here. 636-1350, if you want to reach Rachel and Dave, we've got about 10 minutes, 7-8 minutes left. You can get in to qualify for that beautiful Luther Burbank T-shirt and ask questions galore at 636-1350. Well, we covered plums pretty well. What is eating all our new little plant starts in the vegetable garden? We've had a lot of questions, actually, the past few weeks of things being kind of mowed down. And Gwen, people were saying, I know it's not slugs, it's not snails, it's not earwigs. I've baited, I've put everything out there. I don't know what could possibly be doing this. She's feeling that birds might very possibly swoop in and decimate our starts. What, do you agree? Is that possible?
Well, the birds actually go for the lettuces a great deal.
They do.
Yeah, but there are other critters at this time of the year besides snails and slugs with the moisture happening. Cutworms, you know, you can have problems from rats. Some of the other rodents that are around, I think Rachel was mentioning squirrels.
Squirrels, yeah, squirrels are really bad. They like to just clip things off at the bottom of the leaf base, especially like chards and mustards, anything like that. And I don't know that they're even eating them. A lot of times I've seen them just use them for nesting material, which is really frustrating to me, who wanted that nice head of bok choy, you know. But you know.
So squirrels, well, how do you prevent, what do you do for squirrels? You can't prevent squirrels, can you?
I can't prevent squirrels. In the area where I'm growing things, I have walnuts and beech nuts and chestnuts and pecans and pistachios. There's no way I'm going to prevent squirrels.
Okay. If you want to be organic and take care of squirrels, feral cats are very good.
Oh, you know, I wish that would work for us. We have all these cats in the neighborhood, but they're so well fed that they're lazy. And then our squirrels are just... evil.
Big fat evil squirrels.
Yeah. I guess they used to historically trap them and move them to a different park, but that's just really not feasible.
So what do you do for cutworms? And you also mentioned cabbage caterpillars.
Cabbage moth caterpillars.
Is there organic or good controls for those? Would those also mow down or decimate the vegetable starch too? Yeah.
They'll eat a lot of the leaves and stuff. Normally, they won't annihilate the entire plant. You get damage of your leaves, and one of the safest things for that is Bacillus thuringiensis, BT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've covered that. We've covered squirrels, but birds. Would you both agree that birds can really wipe out something overnight?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So maybe put some floating row cover or something on those starts. Would that help?
Yeah, bird netting.
Bird netting.
Yeah, and make sure that you know it's put down the whole way, because if there's even one little tiny opening, you can get little tiny birds that'll go right underneath that, and as soon as one of them knows the way in, they'll tell all their friends.
Because I was mentioning we had a caller last week that said, well, I put bird netting down, and Gwen asked, well, did you make sure it was staked completely around? She said, well, there's only like 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah, that's big enough. No,
that's plenty of space, isn't it, for a bird to scoot underneath.
You could get chickens through that size.
So. Oh, yeah, definitely. My chickens would do it.
We'll be back. We need one more final break and still time to get in with a question or comment before we close up shop for Garden Talk. Chef John Ash coming your way on the Good Food Hour at 11:05.
At the Table with Clark Wolf. Saturdays noon to 1 on 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.